psychology, that subconscious message that we've delivered to her, she saw this child beating up other children, and she's like, because she beats others, I don't want to associate with her, right?
So that's a criteria for her.
Exactly. So one of the ways that we can help our children pick the right kind of friends is right from that age when they are about 6 years old, we start providing those criteria, those measurements, those yardsticks to our right. children, that these are good traits, these are good qualities, these are good behaviors. You should have them, and the people you pick should have them. And these are the bad characteristics, these are the bad behaviors. Okay. You should not have them.
Right.
And when you pick people, make sure they don't have that. That way, they pick the friends. Again, you can't pick the friends for your children, because that'll be like forcing them, coercing them to have right. a particular friend, and they might
These
not like it.
These forced play dates, if you heard, they never work out.
They never work out.
Yeah.
So you give them the measurements, you give them the characteristics and traits, they pick their own friends, and then they become loyal to these friends, right?
Right.
And when they do that, one of the things that we can do to make sure that this friendship lasts longer and becomes a stronger friendship is that give importance to their friends. Right. Sometimes what we do is we start reprimanding the friends. You know, it's not that the friend that my daughter has made is going to be all angel and going to do all good
with the child.
There are times when she's going to do mistakes. She's going right. to shout back. She's going to beat someone, or something's going to happen. And the moment that happens, my daughter comes back and says, Dad, that wife friend that I had, I saw her beating up one kid today. Right.
And you're like, disassociate, cut off connections.
And immediately we're like, oh my God, that she's also a bad person. So disassociate, don't right. hang around with her. No, rather you help her understand, and you ask her and understand the scenario and help her understand that this is not something that is a regular behavior.
Of course, if they're friends, they have an established relationship.
And right. then you'll have to help them understand that this could have been one-off behavior, that too as a reaction because someone else was beating her up. And in her self-defense, right. she defended herself.
Right.
So instead of reprimanding, we should give importance to their friends. And there are a couple of other points that we will discuss.
Let's discuss them after a quick break.
Inshallah.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Dear Sheikh, just before we went on a break, we were talking about one of the methods we can use to help our children choose good friends. Any other methods, dear Sheikh?
One of the things that I was mentioning was about giving importance to their friends. Like the way I respect my daughter, I respect her choices. I have given her the criteria to pick friends. And when she has picked a friend, I should respect her decision and I should give importance to the friends, right? So
when you say importance, do you mean that you should ask about the friends, their well-being?
Sometimes from the daughter, from your daughter itself, from your son itself, you should ask about their friends, that how are they, what are they doing? And sometimes even a step further, and you say, why don't you call her over for a play date
right.
at home?
That's the next step in a relationship.
That's exactly.
Right.
And that way the relationship becomes stronger. Why don't
it deepens,
you invite
yeah.
them and the parents for a lunch at our place? Well, how about a dinner? How about a supper? And that way you will get to know their family better. You will get to know the children better, just in case these are school friends and not planned by you. And that way there is going to be a more respectable behavior between the families and between the friends itself, because this friend has come to your place. He's met you. You've treated them like your child. So tomorrow this friend is not going to beat up your son or your daughter because she
right.
respects you as an uncle and
right.
an auntie.
So like you're another father figure for them.
You've become a father figure
right.
and you've associated with them. So now she's not going to backstab this, this friend
right.
who's made this family relationship.
Like, in another way, we can say it's too complicated now.
No.
There are too many factors.
Too many factors to risk
right.
now.
Too many bonds. Too many bridges to burn.
Exactly. So then
right.
by giving that necessary importance, you're telling
right.
your daughter or your son that your friend is important for me too. Right. He's important for you. I understand that. And he's important for me.
Right.
And this is what is going to build the bond between your teenage son and you. He's going to be like,
right.
my
That's
dad.
Not a such method.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's like, my father respects my friend. And I love my father because...
Well, even more simple, my father cares about my social life. He even knows my friends' names.
Names, and he associates with them. He cares for them. And sometimes you buy a gift and then you give your son to give it to your friend. And like, okay, it's Eid or whatever it is. You buy a gift and you're like, okay, give it to your friend. And then this way, there's a bonding happening. And the friend also learns good behaviors from your son. So that way, you're doing tarbiyat of your own son. You're doing the right upbringing of your own son. And indirectly through your son, you're doing upbringing of that friend as well.
So win-win situation, like we benefit from each other in this community. Like even the friend that your son has, he may even have more good manners and he will repay. And then it will keep on building this bond between them. They will learn and bounce off ideas from each other.
And that's how that social upbringing happens, right? So you're not just upbringing your own child, but you're also upbringing others' child, right? So that way, a social upbringing happened, the close bonding happened, and then you are sure, at least you're rest assured that my son has the right kind of company, and I really don't need to have, you know, sleepless nights worrying about that. What is my son doing behind me?
Right, let's continue this discussion after a break.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upping. Today we are discussing trips and tricks and advice we can employ to help our children choose good friends. Dear Sheikh, we mentioned two so far. Any other advice that we can employ?
There are a couple of more advice, but there's a myth that I want to address as part of this.
Please
last
do. good idea.
based on the time that we have, that some of the parents have this thought in them that, look, my son or my daughter, she doesn't have friends outside. Why? Because I am my son's friend.
Oh,
or
no.
I am my daughter's
those type
friend.
Of parents.
Yeah. And that doesn't really work out, right? Because
of course
there
not.
Are things that...
That cannot be said to
exactly.
your parents, nor should they be said.
Exactly. There are certain things, some really silly stuff that you crack jokes about, not necessarily inappropriate. There could be some silly stuff that you just want to talk about and laugh, you know, about someone's hairstyle or someone's shoelaces or I don't know, whatever.
Stupid children stuff.
Children stuff, right? Yeah. That you can't sit and talk to your parents. And then when you do, when your
that's
parents
not
don't...
not befitting of your position or of their position.
Of their position. And the parents do not react to that content, that information, the way their own age group people react.
They're not going to laugh. They're going to give you a lesson in morals and ethics.
At the most, a little smirk and they're like, okay, so this is what you talk about, you know what, and then you start giving lectures about so this myth that parents live with and in the hope that, you know, it's okay if my son doesn't find friends outside, I'm going to be my son's friend, I'm going to be my daughter's friend, that is not going to happen. You know,
but
a lot of parents live with that
right,
myth.
But what about a child who has friends but also he considers his father a friend, or the father considers...
And that
isn't that the perfect combination?
That's a very good combination. Because if a father can be friend, he can be friend in certain areas, right?
Only? Or are you saying
for example, for example, you know, I don't know if I should give this example, but let's say...
try it and I will interrupt
teenage, you. The teenage boys, they discuss about, you know, all the different teachers that come to teach, or they mimic them, they act them out, and then they make fun of them, right?
Right.
This thing can't be done with your father. The child doesn't come home. He can't come home and he acts out his teacher, mimics them and like, look, dad, my teacher, you know, this is how he walks. And then, dude, and then they're not going to laugh at
There's
this.
Some inside jokes, right?
Inside jokes, maybe.
Yeah.
So this is these areas the father can't be friend. But father can be friend where there's time for him to listen to his son. So his son has having problems, the son can come back and talk to the father.
Right.
And this is where he can be a friend by being a good listener.
Sheikh, I think this term we're using, this terminology of friend, I think it still applies to the father even if the son cannot joke with him in certain areas. Like I personally, I have some friends, they know not to joke with me in certain matters. because I don't find it funny,
yeah,
right?
That's just normal. And that's okay. That's okay. I'm saying that some jokes you can have and crack them with your father and you can laugh together.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that you can't crack with your father and laugh about it.
Right.
Here you need people of your own age.
And we accept that. It makes sense. But now, as an extension of this question, should then parents strive to be the best friends of their children?
It won't work out. Even if they try, this need is not fulfilled. Like I mentioned, one of the needs is to hang around with the people of the same age, right? Let me give you an example. This kid wants to experiment different hairstyles, right? And he looks at his friends and they're like, okay, he's got spiky hairs. He's got, you know, he's put braids in his hair.
He has fade.
He's got colored hair. He's got blonde hair. And then by looking at these four or five people, he decides that none of them suits me. I'm going to have my regular hairstyle.
Right.
He can't have that kind of a behavior with the dad. He can't tell him, Dad, I'm going to blonde my hair today and you spike your hair tomorrow. I want to see and match and see which one looks good. That's not going to work out with the father, right? So father can be best friend in certain areas, but certain areas, it has to be that, you know, fighting up, beating up each other and punching in the stomach.
Yeah, of course, of course.
That's not going to happen with the father. So he can't reach that best friend kind of a level.
Sheikh, won't you say it depends on the culture and, of course, on the individual himself? But because I know some parents, they're just like dude friends with their children and with other people's children. Like you seem, he's just a child. I don't want to say he's a child. He's still a man, but he can still associate. They also fight.
That happens, I understand your point. But remember, when that happens, the sanctity of father being the wali of the house is compromised. So next time when father takes that position as a wali and says, this has to be done in
the
this
father
house,
figure.
The fatherly authoritative position, then the son will not associate with that. And like, dude, what are you saying?
It does not add up. It is not befitting of your status.
Exactly.
I would love to continue this discussion, dear Sheikh, but we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for contributing to this discussion and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first to say. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, April 17, 2022. I'm Atefa Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program, actually your program, where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs, the programs of IRIB English Radio. So if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can also record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Listeners Special, and here I extend my heartiest congratulations to you all on a very blessed day. Yes, today is the 15th of the fasting month of Ramadan, a day on which the all-merciful Lord granted an excellent grandson to his last and greatest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The newborn was such an excellent baby and was destined to grow up into an excellent man that the Prophet, on the commandment of God brought to him by Archangel Gabriel, gave his grandson the name Hassan. Yes, today is the birth anniversary of the second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him. Congratulations to you all. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us because we are in the time of pandemic, so we have to send electronic or EQSL cards to our listeners around the world. So here, I appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman, one of our regular listeners from Bangladesh, Heike Poran from Finland, and Alan Willey from Canada. Thank you, Mizanur Rahman, Heike, and Alan Willey. Of course, we've received so many emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. Here we have an email from Nico Genovis from Italy. Seems to be a new listener. Bidan Chandra Sanyal, one of our regular listeners from India. Mohammad Khaku from the US has sent us an email. Tawfiq Islami from Qeshm Island, Iran, has also sent us an email. And from Morocco, from Youssef Ben Meir, we've received an email. So stay with us, please. I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. This is your program, Listeners Special, and from Italy, we've received an email from Nico Genovis. Nico Genovis says, in the name of God, dear friends of IRIB, my name is Nico Genovis, and I am an Italian radio listener. I'm writing to send you a reception report made a few minutes. I enclose two short recordings of the listening that I made with my receiver. I hope to receive your information with EQSL to my email. Best regards from Italy. Salam, ciao. Warm greetings to you, Nico Genovese from Italy. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. You seem to be a new listener. That's great. It's a pleasure. Yes, we've received your short recordings of the listening that you received. And we are so happy that you've recently received the signals of IRIB English Radio in your region. Nico, many thanks for sending us this email. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as a confirmation. Please send an email to us and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast. It would be a pleasure. Thank you, Nico Genovese from Italy. And from India, we've received an email from Bidan Chandra Sanyal, one of our regular listeners. Let's see what Bidan Chandra Sanyal says. In today's world, the need for unbiased media to spread neutral news is undeniable. IRIB English Radio is a clear mirror of Iran's thinking and its social, political and economic situation. Your radio reflects the news of not only your country, but the whole Islamic world. Iran is an Islamic peace-loving state, and your radio is doing an amazing job in spreading and showing this peace to the whole world. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Bidan Chandra Sanyal from India. Please accept my appreciations to you for sending us such a nice email, and thank you for your compliments. It's very nice of you. As you may know, IRIB English Radio has always tried to be unbiased and non-partial in broadcasting the news. And I think it's a duty of any good media to broadcast unbiased, non-partial and correct, precise news and reporting about the world developments. But unfortunately, Western media is doing the opposite. I mean, the Western media tries to behave and to broadcast biased and partial news. And we've seen this regarding what happened in Ukraine and what is happening against Palestinians in the occupied territories. It's we've seen the biased behavior of the Western media against Palestinians and in favor of the fake regime of Israel. Yes, we are seeing it in the Western media. Unfortunately, that's it. Anyway, thank you for sending us this email, Bidan Chandra Sanyal from India. It was great. I mean, showing us your opinion about IRIB English Radio news and programs being, as you said, reflecting the news of country, but the whole Islamic world, and IRIB English Radio being a clear image of Iran thinking and its social, political, and economic situation, and of course the world. Bidan Chandra, again, thank you for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So after a short break, I will be back with other emails. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Morocco from Yusuf Ben Meir. So Yusuf says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, greetings. I prefer to receive a paper QSL card rather than an electronic one or an EQSL. I know that the electronic card is the solution in these difficult times, and I hope that things will improve as soon as possible. I hope you are all fine. Greetings to you from Morocco. Stay safe." Salam and warm greetings to you, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, and thank you very much for sending us this message. So, you prefer to receive a paper QSL card rather than an electronic one or an EQSL one. But as you may know, in the time of pandemic, sending paper QSL card is not possible, and we, just like you, hope that things, the health situation will improve as soon as possible around the world, and the coronavirus comes to an end very soon, so that we can send our dear listeners, like before, traditionally, send our dear listeners paper QSL cards and the souvenirs and promotional items of IRIB English Radio. Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, thank you very much for telling us your view about, the kind of QSL as a confirmation. Anyway, for now, we have to send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And here from US, we've received an email from Muhammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners. So let's see what he says. Our beloved prophet informs us Ramadan is the month whose beginning is mercy, whose middle is forgiveness, and whose end is freedom from fire. We pray that Allah showers all your Muslim listeners and their honored families with infinite mercy and divine love. May your worship be accepted, all your prayers and supplications answered, and all your sins forgiven during these blessed days and nights. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Khaku from the U.S. Many thanks for sending us this email, and thank you for your nice prayers and your nice wishes for us and for our listeners around the world. We also hope that your worship be accepted, all your prayers and supplications answered, and all your sins forgiven during the blessed month of Ramadan. Thank you for writing this email to us. It was really kind of you. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. And please accept our nice wishes and prayers and hopes for you, Muhammad Khaku. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Qashma Island from Tawfiq Islami. Stay with us, please. Here we've received an email from Tawfiq Islami from Qashma Island, the Islamic Republic of Iran. So let's see what Tawfiq says. Hi, let me thank you for your English programs, which are very informative and useful. The new section, views and analysis related to the Persian Gulf, are quite interesting to hear and read. It's definitely the number one radio station in the region. Best regards. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Tawfiq Islami from Qashma Island, Iran. Thank you very much for sending us this nice email. We are so happy that you just told us your views about our programs. As you said, you found IRIB English Radio, the number one radio station in the region, and that's great. And it seems that you like the news section, views and analysis related to the Persian Gulf. Thank you for saying and telling us your views about the Arab English Radio broadcast. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Please write to us soon and tell us more about the Arab English Radio broadcast. So before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, I congratulate all our listeners on the auspicious birth anniversary of the second infallible era of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him. And here, I appreciate those of our great listeners who sent us reception reports and, of course, emails. Let me read their names again. Tawfiq Islami, Alan Vili, Heiki Puran, Mizanur Rahman, Nico Genoves, Bidan Chandra Sanyal, Yusuf Ben Meir, and Muhammad Khaku. Thank you, all of you, for sending us these emails and reception reports. Please keep in touch with your radio, IRIB English Radio, and of course your program, Listeners Special. Have a good time. Take care. Stay safe and healthy. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadali and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Today, we would like to continue our previous session, where we talked about why is it that in this case, the Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, he married Ja'da knowing fully well that she would poison him in the future. We mentioned that the knowledge of the Imams, it is different from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that the knowledge of Allah and the knowledge of the events that would happen, they are firm and they are not changing. Whereas the knowledge of the Imams, it could be flexible, it could change. Another one such answer was that the Imams, they had access to this knowledge if they wished to have access to this knowledge, but because they know fully well that just by Allah not already teaching them this knowledge, they know that Allah's will is that they should not know of these events. Now, dear Sheikh, let's circle back to the marriage of Ja'da and Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, and please provide us with even further information about this topic.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The other aspect that I would like to talk about in more details today is the fact that the culture of marriage at the time of the Prophet and the Imams was not the culture that today we see among us. What I mean is that at that time, in some cases, especially when it comes to our Prophet, his marriages were done because of some expediencies, for the cause of Islam.
Right.
And another culture was that in many cases, the other people came to Prophet or Imams and proposed their daughters to Imam, for the Imam or for the Prophet to get married with them. And usually it was against the culture of the time for the Prophet or the Imam to reject that. So unless for a very good reason.
Right.
So in the case of Ja'da also, her father came to Imam Ali alayhi salam, the father of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and proposed the marriage to Imam Ali alayhi salam. I mean, telling Imam Ali alayhi salam that he asked the Imam to ask Imam Hassan alayhi salam to get married with his daughter.
Right.
So that is another point. So Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam did not go to begin with to ask for Jada for
they names. Were approached.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and at that time, I mean, this culture requires the Imam to accept unless there was a good reason. And we mentioned in the previous session that we cannot prove that Jada was a very bad person.
Right.
And unrighteous.
She was not a righteous person.
Yeah, from right. the beginning. No, later she was deceived by Muawiyah. In some cases, it's been mentioned that, so for people, for a father to come to you and, I mean, tell you that you may get married with my daughter, if you reject that, it sometimes it was considered as a great disrespect.
Of course.
And in right. some cases, it's been mentioned that, I mean, maybe before Islam, it was considered as a kind of announcing a war. Because people coming from different tribes. And now the father of the girl is coming to you. You are rejecting that. It is as right. if you are proclaiming a war.
You have humiliated him.
Exactly.
Especially in the old Arab and still yeah. today with this Arabic tribal system and culture.
Exactly. So we shouldn't think that it was Imam Hadi alayhi salam or Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam who asked Ash'ath, the father of Ja'da,
right.
And Ja'da herself for marriage. No, they came. I mean, Ash'ath, the father came to Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So in many cases, I mean, even at the time of our Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, the Holy Prophet, in almost most of the cases, his marriages were because of some expediencies, which I will refer to some of them. And
so this marriage, it was perhaps, we do not want to say completely forced marriage, but it was also a political marriage.
Yeah, to some extent, yes.
Right.
Let me, before talking about our Prophet, refer to the chapter at Tahrim. Of course, in some way, it is also related to him, our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. In chapter At-Tahrim in the Noble Book of Quran, the stories of six women are mentioned. One of them is Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh. The other one is Maryam, salamullahi alayha. And then we have four other women. Two of them were the wives of the Prophet, and two were the wives of Nuh and Lut, two prophets.
Right.
In the case of Prophet Lut, it's been mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran that she was among the disbelievers. And with the divine punishment came, she right. also, I mean, was killed.
Yes, this verse that we are here to save all of you except for your wife.
Yeah, except for your wife.
Right.
The same is true about the, according to some narrations, for the wife of Prophet Hud alayhi salam. It's been mentioned that in one case, the people of the Prophet Hud came to the house of the Prophet, asking him for some prayers and supplications. There was a lady inside the house. She opened the door and the people told her the story. And she said that if Hud could pray to God and his prayers were answered by God, then he could have prayed for himself.
Okay, so, then. Right. Yeah. So it's very explicit that she was not a believer. Okay.
Or maybe was not a very, I mean, truthful believer anyway.
Right.
So people went and later they found Prophet Hud and he prayed for them and he told them that you can go to your houses and you will have rain.
Right.
And then the people told him the story of that old woman and Prophet Hud, according to some narration, said that she is my wife. And God is testing me through her, who is an enemy to me. And it's better for me to have this enemy within my house instead of having this enemy
outside.
Outside. Right. So We see the same in the history of some of our prophets and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, that to have such a bad wife is an example of showing patience and, I mean, practical example to the people.
So the Prophet, peace be upon him, the all of this trouble that he had. Some even say, I've heard some scholars jokingly say that that was the miracle of the Prophet, his patience that he had when facing these wives that he had.
That's the point. And as I said in chapter At-Tahrim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks very directly about two wives of the Prophet who are somehow bothering him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala somehow is threatening them that if you continue to do so, it's possible that the Prophet may divorce you. And this is mentioned explicitly in the Noble Book of Quran. So this is the case. I mean, my point is that marriage at the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, is not on the basis of the Prophet and the Imams choosing the best women at right. their time.
Not no. always.
Not right. always. In many cases, they are somehow, I mean, as you rightly mentioned, they are not forced, but they choose to do so because of some other experiences.
There's a benefit for the Islamic Ummah, right.
When it comes to our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, it's been mentioned that some of his marriages was because of the Prophet to attract the attention of the people of that tribe.
Right.
And it was, I mean, very practical. It benefited the Prophet a lot. Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, was from the tribe of Taim. Hafsa was from the daughter of Umar, was from Adi. Umm Habiba, the daughter of Abu Sufyan, was from Banu Umayyah. And Suda from Bani Asad, Maymuna from Bani Hilal. Safiya was an ex-Jewish woman. So the point is that the Holy Prophet, not in all the cases, is choosing the best women at his time to get all married right. with. No, through these marriages, the Holy Prophet is able to attract the attention of the people, and we see some, I mean, practical benefits of it. For example, it's been mentioned that right from the time that the Holy Prophet got married with one lady from Banu Umayyah or Banu Mustalaq, no more danger came from those tribes anymore, because they right. considered the Holy Prophet as their son-in-law,
not an ally of them.
An ally right. and son-in-law of the tribe, not
yes,
only the
right, yeah.
father-in-law.
That's how political marriage were back then and still are to some extent here.
Exactly. A Christian writer in this regard writes that Prophet Muhammad married Umm Habiba, and this way he became the son-in-law of Abu Sufyan. And through that, the enmity of Abu Sufyan and his tribe was decreased.
Right, of course.
So this is the reality of the marriages, some of the marriages of the Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt. So in the case of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, there are a couple of points. Again, to put it in a nutshell, we said that, first of all, it's not Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam asking for marriage. No, it is proposed by her father. And it was disrespectful for Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam and Imam Ali alayhi salam to reject. And as I mentioned, in some cases, it was a kind of disrespect to the whole tribe.
Humiliation, yeah.
And not only to that family. And also, we talked about the fact that it was very likely that at that time, Ja'da was not a corrupted person. Right. And also, the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet are not going to act upon their knowledge of the unseen when it comes to their, I mean, daily issues and daily affairs.
Right.
It's a marriage proposal. Imams and the Prophet are going to act upon their normal knowledge and not the knowledge of the unseen. Also, when it comes to the martyrdom of the Imams, we said that it is possible for the Imams not to know about these issues because...
Right. Either by choice or they simply do not know.
Yeah, right. because they know if they want, and maybe in these right. cases they didn't want to
yes.
know.
And just like perhaps a final point, all of these marriages, they were done with the benefit for the Islamic Ummah,
exactly.
and not only for the Imam. Like
exactly.
you mentioned yourself, the Prophet, he married all of these daughters from different tribes, not because they were the more righteous, or the most richest, or whatever practical benefit there was. No, because you said yourself to attract these tribes, not to himself only, but to Islam. And that is the prophethood, that is the prophetic mission, to do tabligh, preach to the people. And the prophets and also imams, they did whatever they could to do just that. And with that, we will end today's program because we are out of time. I thank the dear Sheikh for shedding some light on this very historical and important event, And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we are going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا
And it is he who has made the night for you as clothing, and sleep as means for rest, and has made the day a resurrection.
Brothers and sisters, the 47th verse of the chapter states, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا And he is the one who appointed the night for you to be a covering and sleep as a rest. وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا And he appointed the day a rising. Earlier in the previous episode, we said that this section of the chapter is somehow talking about the guidance that we can get from the working of the nature. In the previous verses, we discussed the alternative system of the light and darkness that happens gradually during the day. And now, this verse is looking at this process from another perspective. Of course, that approach that we must take is the same. We have to look at all these events as an indication and sign of the absolute cause. Anyway, this verse is saying, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا He appointed the night for you a covering, وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتًا He made sleep a kind of rest for you, وَجَعَلَ النَّهَارَ نُشُورًا And he appointed the day a rising. The alteration of day and night, the calmness in the night and working in the day, they are all the signs of Allah's lordship. Therefore, after mentioning the blessing of the shades in the previous verse, the Holy Quran brings up two other blessings that are very appropriate with this fact and event. In this way, a little of the secrets of the universe, which indicates the existence of the essence of Allah, is mentioned. At first it says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا And he it is who appointed the night for you to be a covering. This is a very interesting and beautiful sentence. He appointed the night for you to be a covering. This dark curtain of night covers not only men, but also all creatures of the earth.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
It is somehow protecting all the creatures like a garment. It wraps man like a cover, and man can use this cover at the time of sleep for creating darkness and for rest. And this changing of night and day, it is not accidental. It is for a specific reason. It is based on hikmah. It is based on knowledge and wisdom that this system is created. And interestingly, the verse says, وَالَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. The blessing of night is a really useful blessing for us, because it says لَكُم, it is for you. Anyway, it is also worth mentioning that the Holy Quran has counted some different things as libas. In this verse, it says, جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. He made the night for you to be a covering. In another verse, it says, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُمْ. In this verse, the husband and wife are mentioned as libas for each other. And also, elsewhere it says, لِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. The covering of taqwa and piety. Anyway, the verse continues saying, and sleep as a rest. This is referring to the blessing of sleep. وَالنَّوْمَ سُبَاتَ. The Arabic word subat is derived from the word sabt, that means to terminate. It was then used to mean to stop working for taking rest. That Saturday is called in Arabic Yawm al-Sabt is because its appellation is taken from schedule of the Jews who set Saturday their holiday. In fact, this word refers to the termination of all physical activities at the time of sleep, because we know that at the time of sleep, most of the activities of our body are terminated. Some other parts, such as heart and lung, lessen their usual work and continue more slowly so that tiredness will be removed and power will be replaced in our bodies. And that is why well-timed and measured sleep revives all the powers of the body. It brings up happiness and might for us, and it is the best means for calming the nerves. And on the contrary, termination of sleep for a long time is very harmful, and sometimes it is even fatal. It is so damaging that one of the main tortures that torturers use is to terminate the sleep program and to break the man's resistance very soon. We will, God willing, talk about the rest of this verse in the next episode. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.